This is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. In the second half of the show, we'll have a conversation with Elizabeth Colbert, who wrote the Pulitzer Prize-winning book, The Sixth Extinction, An Unnatural History. But first, while vegetarian and vegan diets are nothing new, the idea of living a plant-based lifestyle has definitely become more mainstream in recent years. What was once considered a sort of fringe movement with limited choices when it came to places to shop for groceries and product has now become relatively common. Here in Southwest Florida, we have stores like Ada's Food and Thought and Mother Earth, complemented by tons of local farm-to-table events and markets. We're joined this hour by three men who work to promote healthy plant-based lifestyles. First, Mike Young. He's the founder of Southwest Florida Veg Fest, which is now in its second year. It's coming up this Sunday at Riverside Park in Bonita Springs. Thanks for coming in today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
We're also joined by Gene Bauer. He's the co-founder and president of Farm Sanctuary, a national nonprofit that works to end cruelty to farm animals and to change the way that society views and treats farm animals. He's the author of two national best-selling books, Farm Sanctuary, Changing Hearts and Minds About Animals and Food, and also Living the Farm Sanctuary Life, the ultimate guide to eating mindfully, living longer, and feeling better every day. Bauer has a master's degree in agricultural economics from Cornell University and is a faculty member at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health, and he is one of the featured speakers at this weekend's VegFest. Mr. Bauer, thank you so much for your time.
Absolutely. Great to be with you.
And last but not least, we're joined by Joe Pearson. He's the man behind the rapidly expanding Healthy Harvest Community Farms in Lehigh Acres. He started with a small plot of land off of Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Fort Myers, but has now taken his farm to what was once a golf course in Lehigh Acres, where he grows food for local soup kitchens and other charities and teaches everyday people how to grow their own food as well. Joe, thanks for being here today.
Thank you for having us.
We are talking about living a plant-based lifestyle on today's show, and we'd like to hear from you. You can join the conversation by giving us a call at 877-428-8255. In fact, call 239-590-2580. I'm sorry, that 877 number is down. So today we're calling 239-590-2580. Also, you can catch us on Facebook at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCO. So first, Mike Young, let's start with you. How did VegFest come to exist?
Well, I started up a vegan group here in Southwest Florida on Facebook. And we realized that a few years ago, I started that in 2014. It kept growing. And a VegFest is something that typically happens in most major metropolitan areas. We didn't have one here. So I kind of put the word out on that group and asked for volunteers, and we had our first meeting on World Vegan Day, which was November 1st, 2015, and I had our first fest last year in the early 2017, and it took about a year to plan that event.
So what happens at a Veg Fest?
Well, it's basically a celebration of all things vegan, and our slogan, if you see here on my shirt, you can't see that in the radio, it's for people, animals, and planet. So those are the three aspects of veganism: human health, protection and animal rights, and also the environment and protecting the environment, those three facts. So anyway, what we do is we have an outdoor festival. We have vendors. We have about 100 vendors this year. We have speakers all day long that are experts on the subject. We have, for the vendors, 100 vendors, we have 20 food vendors, and all their food is all vegan, as are all their products. They all have to be vegan as well. Those people don't have to be vegan businesses themselves 100%, but at our event, they are.
That's what they're serving.
Yes, exactly. And that's what they're selling, or their products are all vegan as well, because sometimes there are animal products involved with just about anything you might buy, unless you are aware or checking on that.
Yeah, you got to really kind of keep an eye out on that. So tell me a little bit quickly the difference between vegetarian and vegan, just for those who aren't familiar.
Sure. Vegetarian is simply vegan where you're going to eat dairy products. That is the difference. Vegetarians typically don't eat meat of any kind. Sometimes, like, the subject of fish might come up. That's considered pescatarian. So I'd say vegetarian is just vegan with eating of dairy.
So you got milk and eggs in there and cheese.
Yes.
So vegan is no cheese, no dairy, no eggs.
Correct. Although there is plenty of substitutes that you can do that are either based in whole plants, or more often what you're seeing out now is transition products, which are actually – some are very highly processed, but they resemble almost identically the animal product version. That's a huge trend that's going on right now in food.
Mm-hmm. So Gene Bauer, co-founder and president of Farm Sanctuary, how common is a festival like this nationwide?
These are spreading all over the country and, in fact, all over the world. It's a very exciting time to be a vegan. I went vegan back in 1985 when I learned about the cruelty of factory farming, and I didn't want to be part of it. And at that time, it was a lot harder to be vegan. For soy milk, we used to have to mix powder with water to get soy milk. Now you go to a mainstream grocery store and you find all kinds of plant-based alternatives to cow's milk, whether it be soy milk or almond milk or coconut milk or cashew milk or there's so many different kinds, and also alternatives to cow's cheese that come from plant sources, especially nuts. And so it's really getting to be very popular, and these veg fests are part of that.
So you're nationally known for your decades-long efforts to raise awareness about the abuse of animal agriculture in our cheap food system. How did you wind up on that path? What set you on that road?
Yeah, well, when I grew up, you know, I saw many problems around me in terms of environmental destruction, wars, violence, and I didn't want to be a cog in a wheel of a system that I thought was causing so much harm. So I actually started out by volunteering at human rights organizations and then environmental organizations, and then I learned, ultimately, about factory farming and the harm it causes to people, to animals, and to the environment. And when I learned that it was possible to live well without contributing to that system by eating plants instead of animals, it made all the sense in the world. So I went vegan in 1985, co-founded Farm Sanctuary in 1986, started investigating farms to document conditions, and we would find living animals literally thrown in trash cans or thrown on piles of dead animals. So we started rescuing them, and that's how the Farm Sanctuary movement started. We just started rescuing these animals, caring for them. We now operate sanctuaries in New York, in California, and just like veg fests are spreading, farm sanctuaries are spreading now around the world. So there's this movement, this desire to live more kindly and to treat other animals with respect, and these veg fests are part of that, and so are the farm sanctuaries.
So there's been a movement nationally, and I know that there are some people practicing this here locally where they are growing animals for meat, but they're doing so in pasture-raised capacity with humane attempting to be humane while growing animals for meat. How do you feel about this kind of a movement towards a more thoughtful process of consuming meat, maybe getting less of it and better quality?
I think eating less meat is certainly better than eating more meat. I think that animals being treated less badly is better than animals being treated terribly on these factory farms. But at the end of the day, you know, if we can live well without causing unnecessary harm and without killing, you know, I think that's the best choice. And if you think about it, the word humane and the word slaughter don't really fit very well together. And I feel bad for animals who are being killed, but also for people who cut the throats of animals at slaughterhouses or even on farms. It's sort of an unnecessary violent act. And so I encourage any step in the direction away from factory farming towards eating less meat, but always want people to recognize that it is possible to live well without eating any animal products, and we can thrive on a wholly plant-based diet.
So you mentioned earlier that you didn't want to be part of a cog in a machine that causes destruction and pain. And I wanted to ask, I mean, you're one guy. How far have we come? How far has the movement come? I know that it's become more convenient to get plant-based materials to consume. But do you feel like the collective has made much of a difference in the way of factory farming?
I do. There are issues also with export markets, and, you know, in China and India, they're starting to eat more meat, so those are certainly concerns. The factory farming industry has grown, and it's becoming more international, so that is a problem. You know, but you also see a movement towards alternatives, and you see some of these agribusiness giants who are now starting to invest in plant-based companies. For example, Cargill, you know, who's a huge multi-billion-dollar international agribusiness, is investing in plant-based proteins that can be used to replace animal protein. And you have, you know, Tyson, another giant in the meat industry, is starting to invest in plant-based foods, and you have big dairy conglomerates investing in plant-based milks. So I think the change is now starting to happen at the business infrastructure level. And ultimately, when these foods become more widely available, more citizens will buy them. And so that, to me, is one of the most exciting things happening now, is the investment and the businesses moving towards promoting and profiting from plant-based agriculture and plant-based protein.
And I'm going to turn back to Mike Young here in the studio. You're the VegFest founder here in Southwest Florida. What role has Gene's work played in your efforts to live a more healthy plant-based life?
Well, Gene, I'd say he's known, say, worldwide as almost the voice of the animals, the voice for the animals, I'd say. You know, animals can't really speak, so it requires someone like us to intervene. And, yeah, he's played a tremendous role in – you're talking about me personally?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'd say that I initially became vegan for human health reasons. That was my top priority. But during the course of that transition and transformation, I've learned about what happens with animals. And like he says, if you can avoid hurting someone or something, I think we should. And what I've learned too with some of our major partners, such as Lee Health here in Lee County, they were our largest sponsor last year and are again a major sponsor this year. They are working on food as medicine models, where the models of eating that we are trying to promote alongside of them are actually optimal for human health. So really, if you go vegan, no one gets hurt. That's the way we like to look at it. That's the way I look at it.
Mm-hmm. So I want to go back to Gene again. So as the co-founder and president of Farm Sanctuary, tell me a little bit about this farm. You said that you have rescued animals from farms that are living there?
That's correct. We started back in 1986 investigating factory farms, and we would literally find living animals who were discarded by the industry. So we rescued them and cared for them, and we now care for about 1,000 animals at sanctuaries in New York and California, and these are places where the animals get to live out their lives. We have cows, pigs, sheep, goats, chickens, turkeys, ducks, and these are all animals who are now our friends, not food. And we encourage people to come visit, to get to know them, to give a pig a belly rub. And it's really wonderful to go out into the barnyard and to walk up to a 600-pound pig, and you touch their tummy, and they flop over for a belly rub because they love it. And they communicate, they grunt their pleasure when you're rubbing their tummy. And we have turkeys that follow you around like puppy dogs. So these animals are not that different than cats and dogs. They are individuals who have feelings, and who we think deserve to be treated with respect and with compassion. And when we treat other animals with kindness, that's actually good for us too. Studies have shown that when we interact with other animals in a positive way, it helps to lower our stress, lower our blood pressure, improve our health. And, you know, eating plants instead of animals can also improve our health physically. You know, it's been estimated that we could save 70% on healthcare costs in the U.S. by shifting to a whole foods plant-based diet. So it's great to hear about health and medical institutions, you know, like there in Florida, who are now starting to look at food as medicine, which is what, you know, Hippocrates said, the founder of Western medicine, said, let food be thy medicine. So eating plants instead of animals is good for animals, but it's also good for us emotionally and also biologically. And it's good for the planet. Animal agriculture is one of the top contributors to the most significant environmental problems our planet faces.
And in your studies as with our master's degree towards the economic side of things, do you think that there is an economically feasible way for people to continue with a not necessarily meat-based, but continue to have meat as part of their diet, as a smaller percentage of the diet, and then have it continue to be a viable economic industry? I mean, is it possible for it to continue by employing humane practices, not being wasteful, not manufacturing quite as much?
Well, I think that the industry has grown the way it has because of government subsidies, frankly. Animal agriculture is inherently inefficient. It's much more efficient to grow grains and other plant foods and to eat them directly, instead of growing corn and soy and other feed crops and then feeding them to animals, where you need something like 10 times more resources to produce the same amount of calories and nutrition. So eating plants instead of animals is very efficient. Now, to your question about whether or not we could continue to raise and eat animals, you know, I think that we are going to have to do less just because ecologically the planet cannot sustain a growing human population eating meat, especially the way we do here in the U.S. So I think there will be a shift towards eating more plants. And as a vegan activist, I would love for us to have an entirely plant-based food system. But also I recognize that, you know, I can't control others, and I can only control myself, so I will be a vegan. But and I will encourage people to move in that direction, but each person has to do it in their own pace. But I think the most efficient food system is plant-based. I think we could feed more people. We could do so with fewer resources, which means that we could let wild spaces and wildlife habitats flourish. You know, when you have animal agriculture, you have rainforest being cut down so that we can grow grain to feed farm animals. Mm-hmm. And if we didn't have to do that, we could let these rainforests regenerate. So it has many impacts around our planet.
Well, there are many prongs to it, and I want to turn back to Mike Young. We talked a little bit before we went on the air, Mike, about nutritional concerns. Some people that I know who have gone vegetarian, not necessarily vegan, they went vegetarian, and they just blew up because they ate all carbs. Is there how do people do it correctly? Is there a right way and a wrong way?
Yeah, well, Gene touched on that. It's called whole food plant-based. And that is also considered food as medicine. That's what Lee Health is trying to do. And also we have the Blue Zones as well. They're one of our major sponsors this year. They're also advocating for that. And, yeah, you could do it wrong. If you just say you're vegan, it doesn't necessarily mean you're healthy at all, unfortunately. You could be eating Oreos and drinking Pepsi all day long and you're vegan. But, you know, that's not going to improve your health. It's probably the exact opposite
of
that.
You have no teeth left. They like looking little raisins now.
Yeah. So, go ahead, Gene.
Often people who go vegetarian eat more dairy products. So sometimes that's the shift that happens that is not healthy. And I agree with the point that a whole foods plant-based diet is the best.
Yeah. So anyway, as long as you do it right, you can do anything wrong, no matter what it is. But I would say get the advice of a dietitian, nutritionist, your physician. I know the folks at Lee Health are very progressive. Some doctors, unfortunately, aren't quite aware of what the newer ways of you know, this food as medicine is because they haven't been trained in it. That's the only reason why.
That's true, yeah.
And Lee Health has got a lot of incentive because they're for the most part, self-insured. So if one person spends a lot less money on health care, that directly impacts their bottom line. So they have a lot of motivation to get this done, and it's the right thing to do, frankly. You know, we want to keep people healthy. That's why they actually changed their name recently to Lee Health. That was a change as of about a year ago.
Yeah. Are there people that are going to be at VegFest this weekend that are going to be able to offer that kind of advice? Like, where are good sources of protein? I mean,
yes.
You said there's a misnomer about a lack of protein in a vegan diet.
Yeah, there is. That's the big thing. Where are you going to get your protein from if someone says you're vegan? But
that's
the truth
immediately
is,
where I go. I know that there's no bacon. Okay, I've accepted that. But then,
well, you can have seitan bacon. Actually, that's a vegan form of bacon. But as Gene kind of mentioned, it's a more you're getting protein more efficiently. You're getting your protein from where the animals are getting it, which is plants. And almost all plants have the correct proportion of protein. Some have less percentage, some have more. But on average, as long as you're eating a correct diet, you won't have to supplement unless you're some type of extreme athlete. That would be the only exception to something like that.
I clearly am not. We are talking about plant-based lifestyles on this part of today's show, and we're getting a bit of a preview of this weekend's second annual Southwest Florida Veg Fest, which is Sunday at Riverside Park in Bonita Springs. I'm joined by the event's founder, Mike Young, who we were just hearing from, and also one of the featured speakers, Gene Bauer. He's the co-founder and president of Farm Sanctuary. You can become part of a conversation, too, by giving us a call at 239-590-2580. You can also catch us on Facebook. We're at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. And a third guest that we have on the show today is Joe Pearson, who's been sitting by patiently. He's the founder of Healthy Harvest Community Farms. I want to pivot to you now. So tell me a little bit about Healthy Harvest Community Farms. What is it? What's it about?
Primarily what we do is we promote healthy lifestyles by teaching people how to plant, grow, harvest, and prepare healthy foods. We donate our byproduct, the wonderful crops that we have, to soup kitchens and food distribution centers and try to help them as well to have a better sources of food for the people that come there.
So as a community farm, do you have members of the community that come out and have little plots that they manage? Or
we have businesses and people from their homes, absolutely.
And they come out and take care of them. And do they end up taking it with them, or do they donate some of it?
The majority donate it back, actually.
Is this a nice opportunity to get out and get your fingers in the dirt?
Absolutely.
So this started in a lot off of Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Fort Myers. Seems like an unusual place to start a farm.
Well, actually, we started at the golf course where we're at now. And then we did have that up that place off of Martin Luther King as well up until this past July. But because we're expanding now since the hurricane in Lehigh at the golf course, we're going to be focusing all of our efforts out there.
So how'd that hurricane impact you?
We decimated everything. We lost everything. But we started planting the next day after the hurricane. We started seeding trays in the house, had grow lights growing our wonderful product, and now we're back to delivering food to the soup kitchen this past week as well as Florida Gulf Coast Humane Society.
Have you always been a farmer?
No. I was a nutritionist and a trainer.
Oh, a nutritionist and a trainer.
Yeah.
And then you got the plant bug. How'd that happen?
Well, I was the chairman of the Chamber of Commerce out in Lehigh at the time, and it was basically to bring back the property values. I just was trying to think of a way to utilize areas that weren't being taken care of, that weren't being maintained. And community gardens sound like the right thing to do. And I called a friend of mine who was part owner of Mirror Lakes Golf Club, and shared the idea with him, and he told me to come over immediately. And that day he gave me the land, and from that point on, this is approximately 5 years ago, been farming ever since.
The rest is history, right? Yeah. So how many people do you have working with you out there?
Oh, on a weekly basis, we probably have at least 50 come through.
Wow. And they come out and they work the field. What are you growing right now?
Oh, we have a long list.
Really?
Broccoli,
okay. What are you not growing?
Broccoli, cauliflower, carrots, wide variety of herbs. We have about 600 strawberry plants producing right now, collard greens, mustard greens, wonderful carrots that we're pulling right now.
How can people get involved?
They can contact us on Facebook, or they can reach us on the website, healthyharvestfarms.org, or they can call me directly.
Did you find it challenging figuring out how to garden down here in Florida?
I knew nothing about it. And I Googled, and I found a PDF file online that taught how to plant everything in Southwest Florida, the best varieties, the best time to plant, and best ways to plant. So that was pretty much my Bible when I started. And we have years of beautiful crops that we've been able to take to the food distribution center. So.
Yeah. So we started off this hour talking about VegFest and living a plant-based lifestyle. Is that kind of what you're trying to bring about, both in yourself and those around you?
Yes, absolutely. And for myself as well, because I wasn't eating much vegetables when I started this.
You were a meat and potato guy.
Very much so. And now, fast forward, I'm pulling carrots out of the ground, beating them off on my thigh, the dirt off, and eating them with somebody as I give a tour. And they taste delicious. Our cauliflower, our broccoli. We don't use anything. It's all grown organically simply because when I started, I had no money. So that was
the best way to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've stuck to it.
Did it take a lot to convert a golf course? They're not known for not using the pesticides. You know, the golf courses have a lot of stuff going on. Was it hard getting that dirt clean?
No, there's so many areas on a golf course that aren't being used that gets nothing. They're just the sides of that are all overgrown. Mm-hmm. And they gave me a nice area. And this golf course, they use a lot of organic products on all of their – and everything's natural there. That's why it was so easy for them to go into this direction.
Yeah, that's rare, though.
Yeah, you know, very rare.
It's rare to find that. We have a couple comments from Facebook. We have from Bobby Alana Underwood says, Gene is inspiring and the movement is increasing. 3 exclamation marks. Oh, wait, that's 4 exclamation marks. Can't wait for Sunday. We also have an email sent in to one of our producers saying, if everyone's eating a vegan diet, why do you think that there would be any animals? I guess the question saying, if everybody's going vegan, would we not then have cattle?
Right. Well, I think that most of them are created, through artificial means, to increase the population because it's a business, right?
We would have fewer cattle.
Correct,
running.
Because we wouldn't purposely be breeding them.
And we also wouldn't have the strange chickens that are unusually large, bred for the breast meat,
True. Oh, yeah, that's right, yes.
The ones that can't stand up.
Absolutely. These are animals who have been genetically bred specifically for production traits like fast growth. And in some cases, turkeys, for example, they have been so profoundly altered genetically that they cannot even reproduce naturally anymore. So if people stopped eating animals, the industry would just stop mass producing them. And then hopefully we could also allow more natural ecosystems to develop. And then cattle, who evolved in certain areas, could potentially be repatriated to live there. And more wildlife would be allowed to live. One of the big problems with animal agriculture is that we're destroying ecosystems and we are causing a loss of biodiversity. And, although we have many animals in the U.S., we raise over 9 billion farm animals on land and many more fish who are exploited and killed. But 9 billion farm animals, so it sounds like a lot of animals, but a lot of them have very similar genetic makeup. And so we don't have a lot of diversity. And the same could be said about our food system. You go into a grocery store and you see a shelf with lots of different types of cereal and different colored boxes. But they basically have the same ingredients, corn and sugar, for example. Mm-hmm. So diversity is so important. And if we started eating more plants and, supporting local farmers, I love hearing about, growing local food and having so many people involved. That's beautiful. And then, taking carrots out of the ground and eating them. But in terms of the animals, you know, the ones that are bred in this country now live very short, miserable lives. So it would be okay if we didn't have 9 billion of those animals every year in this country.
And just a point of curiosity, the pigs on your sanctuary, how long are they living?
They live roughly 8 to 10 years. And, you know, in production, they're usually killed at 6 months old at a very young age. And so we've actually had to learn how to care for these animals who've been genetically bred to grow fast and large. And so we've actually had to put them on a very high-fiber diet to make sure that they don't put on too much weight so that their legs are able to support their bodies.
That is kind of an odd question, but I've never really heard about how long a pig could live if it was allowed to live out his years.
Yeah, and in fact, that's actually a new trend, too, having pigs as pets as opposed to a dog, just an individual owning one. I know some friends that have pigs as pets.
Well, there was the Vietnamese pot-belly pig for a while. Yeah.
I mean, it's not necessarily a vegan thing. It's just a pig is a very intelligent animal.
Yeah, I've heard that from a lot of people. But we're talking about ways to live a plant-based life on today's show. I'm joined by Joe Pearson. He's the founder of Healthy Harvest Community Farms in Lehigh Acres. I'm also joined by the founder of Southwest Florida Veg Fest, Mike Young. The second annual Veg Fest is this Sunday at Riverside Park in Bonita Springs. And by one of the featured speakers at the event, Gene Bauer. He's the co-founder and president of Farm Sanctuary and a nationally known advocate for treating farm animals better. You can become part of our conversation, too, by giving us a call at 239-590-2580. So, Mike, what kind of a role does backyard farming, or in the case of Joe Pearson, community farming, play in living a plant-based lifestyle?
Well, I'd say it's really important. I think one of the things that Joe mentioned, which is growing organically, is something that we really do support. I think that's the best way to go. And you can control exactly how your crops are grown because you're eating – I mean, you're eating plants. It is overall vastly better for your health in general. Okay, I'm speaking in very general terms than eating animal products. But there are always things that can go wrong with it, like anything else, like the way you grow those plants. So if you're growing plants in your own backyard, of course, you're gonna take a little bit more care. A lot of times, you know, I'm sure Joe's doing a great job over here, but even if someone says something's organic or something, you always hear these stories of, oh, well, they're putting this, that, the other thing on the crops. You just don't know. You're going on faith. Mm-hmm. So if you're doing this in your own backyard, which we would also support, I think it's probably the best way to do, grow your own food if you can do that. And this is a great climate to do that because you've got so much warm weather.
Yeah, the winter's great. So, Joe, I want to ask you, as a starter kit, what do you think people might want to get started with if they're going to do a potted garden or a backyard garden?
Nice little planter box.
Get a planter box?
Yeah, absolutely.
What do you want to put in there?
Depends on time of year. Right now, you can pretty much put anything in there at this time of year.
Do you think people need to start from seeds or should they get little baby plants?
There's a lot of enjoyment starting from seeds, but either way, it's not wrong.
Every time I start from seeds, I never get past the microgreen. You know, I get the first couple leaves and I just never get anywhere from there.
Yeah.
So, and then maybe watch where you get your small plants from.
Correct.
Yeah. And then I was going to ask Gene Bauer, can you give some pointers for people that are maybe considering going towards a plant-based lifestyle? Do you suggest people go cold turkey, all veg all the time, or do you think they should wean off, or how do you think people might best go about improving their eating habits?
Yeah, I mean, each person has to do what works for them, and I think oftentimes incremental changes are the most simple and easy to do. And, you know, one thing you can do is just start substituting. And instead of using animal products, you know, for example, spaghetti and meatballs, you can actually get veggie meatballs. And you can have the same dish, and it tastes the same, and it's healthier, and didn't cause any harm to animals, and you're now eating vegan. And many people are already eating lots of vegan foods. And many ethnic foods tend to be very plant-based because, historically, human beings have primarily eaten lots of plants, because they're just much more efficient. Animal agriculture has come fairly recently because of wealth and power and industrialization. And so historically, the people that would eat the meat were the wealthy people, and they often had problems with gout and other issues. And most people would be eating plants. And so ethnic foods tend to be very plant-based. And so that's another good tip, I think. You know, eating Indian food, for instance, tends to be, and they have a long vegetarian tradition in India as well. So Indian foods tends to be very plant-based, although they do use dairy, so that's something to keep an eye out for. And then just starting to take steps towards eating healthier, like maybe one day a week saying, I'm not going to eat any animal products. And then you start learning what you enjoy, and then you start doing more of that. And in the case of a cold cereal in the morning, instead of using cow's milk, use a plant-based milk. So start using substitutes, start eating ethnic food, just start adding more healthy plant foods. And beans are one of the healthiest things you can eat. And
I know you're talking about this. I keep thinking about lentils every time you talk about these
healthy
foods. Oh, yeah.
Oh, lentils are amazing. Yeah, lentil soup, and you can do different things with lentils. So there's, you know, the beautiful thing, you know, when I went vegan, I actually started eating a much more interesting and varied diet because I started exploring new things. And, you know, most of us are creatures of habit. We tend to do what we do day by day without really thinking about it. So eating plant-based, you start now exploring and thinking about new kinds of grains, you know, quinoa or amaranth, new kinds of vegetables or fruits. New kinds of protein sources, different kinds of beans. There's
those are
so
some
different kinds of beans.
Some great pointers. We have to leave it there for now because we've run out of time, but I want to thank our guest, Mike Young. He's the founder of Southwest Florida Veg Fest, which is this Sunday at Riverside Park in Bonita Springs. Mike, thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Also, thanks to Gene Bauer, the co-founder and president of Farm Sanctuary and one of the featured speakers at this week's festival. Gene, thank you so much for being part of our show.
Thank you. My pleasure.
And I also want to thank Joe Pearson, the founder of Healthy Harvest Community Farms in Lehigh Acres. Joe, I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Coming up, my conversation with Elizabeth Colbert, the author of the Pulitzer Prize-winning book, The Sixth Extinction, An Unnatural History.
Call any vegetable, call any vegetable, and the chances are good that a vegetable will respond to you.